Hello and welcome to Black and Jew Podcast, episode 35.
What's up, everybody?
How's it going?
How was your weekend, Black and Jew listeners? Was it good?
Was it good?
Was it amazing?
Was it amazing?
Did you have sex with someone with a radioactive mutation that makes them have five arms and makes them have the most amazing sex of your life because you didn't know that they could touch you in places that you didn't even know that you were aware of? Is that what happened this weekend, Black and Jew listeners?
Or did you fall asleep watching a hentai just like Mike did? Did you do that? Any of that stuff?
That's a funny coincidence if they did.
Yes, it is.
And we should hang out because we obviously have similar interests if that's what you did this weekend.
You should also, you know, if you did have sex with a man or woman or thing or it with five arms or legs that could touch you in all places, we want to hear about it. Tweet at us, message us on Facebook, post on our Facebook wall, because that's a very interesting experience.
How do radioactive mutations in this post-apocalypse universe that we live in, how does it affect your life? Let us know, Black and Jew listeners.
We'll be taking calls. All right.
We'll be taking calls. How was your weekend, Reggie?
My weekend was amazing.
What'd you do?
This
is your birthday, right?
It was my birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday, dear Reggie.
Thank you. Happy birthday to me.
How old are you turning?
I turned 22.
Oh.
22. That's how old. 22. Yes.
Nothing to look forward to anymore except for maybe renting a car.
Yes. That's what I hear is the next one, which, you know, is immediately like, thrown out the window once you already have a car.
I rented a car recently on a vacation, and it's pretty nice.
Oh, really?
It's pretty nice to be able
you know,
to do that.
My dad has rented cars before, and I take back my previous statement. A rented car has something about it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's like having a fling.
It's like,
you know?
It's not my car.
Yeah, it's not my car.
I could pee in this car, and
I have
if
the
they
insurance.
Didn't figure out about it, then fuck
exactly.
It. Who cares? Let's go crazy. Let's clip our toenails in the cars.
Exactly.
Let's lick everything. No, actually, probably not a good idea to do that, but.
So, yeah.
So, what'd you do?
So, last week, Friday, I went up to Gainesville to visit some friends.
Ooh, exciting.
Went up to Gainesville. It was very exciting because that same weekend, a band that I love called Those Darlins was playing. Mm. They're a great band from Tennessee. They're a rockabilly, rock, country rock band, you know?
Uh-huh. And all you kids with your new genres. Back in my day, we had rockabilly, we had country. We didn't have rockabilly, country, rock.
Well, I meant there's commas in between all those things to describe them. Like, that's what they do. Mm-hmm. And they do it very well. And they know how to put on a show.
We didn't have commas when I was a kid either. Punctuation wasn't invented yet back in 1992.
Yep. We use rocks if we wanted to punctuate.
Exactly.
I'd whip out my quill, write my name, rock.
Rock and roll.
So I, you know, it was great spending time with my friends. It was great, like, hanging out in their apartment. They have a very nice apartment. And just, like, the show. It was at this bar called The High Dive.
So far, you have not sounded like a 22-year-old in your description of this weekend.
Well, the most 22... You
sound like you're at least 36.
Well, that's my perfect 22-year-old weekend.
And the show was at a bar, you said?
Yeah, it was at the bar called The High Dive. Tickets cost $10. $10, and I got to talk to the band afterwards.
Nice.
And I was up front, and there was only a handful of people. Like, the most at that bar, 30 people. 30 people to see the show.
That's awesome. It's like the opposite of a comedy show.
Yes, it's the opposite of a comedy show.
It's a lot more intimate. I think it's hilarious that, you know, you pay more money to see shittier music in a less intimate venue.
Mm-hmm.
Without being able to interact with
and
people.
And then, yeah. And then here I paid $10. I was in front of the band. They dedicated a song to me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Because while I was at the bar, their music is really easy to get into.
Uh-huh.
And it's really danceable, you know?
Yeah.
That's what makes music popular. At least that's what made swing popular back in the day. Uh-huh. It was danceable. And me and my group of friends, shouts out to them, we were cutting a rug. It was amazing. Like,
now you sound like you're 80.
We were cutting a rug. It was crazy.
You should have seen everyone else at the Senior Citizen Center.
Thelma wore her poodle skirt from when we first met. It was great. And I wore my leather jacket, still rocking like a champ. So, yeah, no, we were dancing like crazy. The band was loving our energy. We were loving their energy. And a lot of, like, you know, the experience was directed towards us because they were feeding off of ours and we were feeding off of theirs. And then the lead, the front woman came down onto the stage and then just started playing. And she's a ridiculous guitar player. She shreds. And the transitions between each song, their set list, golden. And then after that, you know, they said, hey, thanks. We'll be by the merch booth and you can hit us up. Talk to us. So I ripped off the show poster from that the bar provided and I had them sign it.
Nice.
And they signed it.
Sounds like a fun show.
It was a lot of fun. And then just yesterday, I saw St. Vincent.
So how was that? They're good. They're a good band.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No,
I know. I recognize that band.
She's really good.
Because it was, I think it was on Pandora. Like it randomly came up.
Oh, okay. Well, she was really good. Like, she shreds. Holy shit.
On guitar?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It was so cool. And then at the end of the show, she does this like crazy breakdown. I think she kind of turned into a witch for like maybe 10 minutes because she just starts like going above the crowd. Like she had the security guards hold her above the crowd. And then she started slapping the strings on her guitar. She just started hitting it. The drummer was going crazy. The guy on the boards and the mixing was going crazy. The woman handling the low end and the backup guitar was... It was great. So that just... And also, I had a really good birthday.
Did you just call the bassist the low end? The person the low end?
No, no. She had a guitar and a keyboard that was handling the low, the lows of the...
I thought that you crazy kids had come up with some other term that I was not familiar with.
No.
YOLO, so, am I right, guys? YOLO.
Hashtag YOLO, blessed.
I think it's blessed. I don't think it's blessed.
I know.
Blessed are you, the Lord our God.
So, and also just my birthday party was really good. It was family. I had guava cake with guava chunks in it and cream cheese icing.
I have a great recipe for guava pie that I haven't used yet.
Oh, you better use that.
And I should make it.
And I got some pretty bomb-ass gifts, too.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I haven't been to a fucking concert in over a year.
Mm.
I haven't been to a concert since before me and Christine started dating. I know that makes it sound like she's like holding me back, but really, that's completely on my own volition.
It's just like your joke, like the one about like, you know, you don't want to go out because you have a relationship. No.
Yeah.
There's a joke about that in there where you're just like, you don't like going to bars because one, you're in a relationship.
Yeah.
And then two, you know, you're getting older.
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant joke, guys. You should watch Mike whenever.
Yeah. It's come out to see me tonight at Elwood's, which is probably, will probably be happening, 2 hours after this podcast is released. So, you know, I don't know how many minutes we are in. We're what, 7 minutes, 8 minutes. So, you know,
yeah.
At this point, if you hear it, you still got like an hour, 50 minutes to make it out to the show.
Plug everything up top.
My aunt's already going. So, I'm not, if Josh Silverman's on the list, that's all of our listeners that are in Miami. So, and Christine might be there. So
sweet.
I haven't been doing a lot of stand up lately though. I wouldn't say slacking. I've been for a reason, but it's weird not doing stand up a lot. Like last week, I went up twice. I think I only went up twice last week, and this week I'm gonna probably only go up 3 nights and maybe 4 separate times.
Yeah,
which is not a lot, you know, because I've got to do the move to LA is nigh. It's happening soon.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you about that. Like that's happening soon.
Very soon, like next month soon. And it's crazy getting everything together, you know, like there's so many things to do. And like Christine's parents are out apartment hunting for us.
Oh, wow. That's very good.
And
nice
LA,
of them.
LA is weird because it's like every two blocks, it's like you're in a good neighborhood, you're in a bad neighborhood. You're in a good neighborhood, you're in a bad neighborhood. I went to Forrest's house. Like we were hanging out last time I was in LA and in his neighborhood's pretty nice. Like, you know, it's not like a super swanky neighborhood, but it's nice. It's part of Los Feliz. And then two blocks down, there's like homeless people rambling at the dollar store on Sunset. And it's just like the worst. It's a bad neighborhood. It's really strange how it works out like that. But it's so expensive, dude. Like, it's crazy. Like,
I bet it is.
Like, you pretty much have to, for like a decent place, it's at least $2,000.
$2,000?
Yeah.
And it's only
why not just move to Manhattan?
Yeah.
You know?
Holy shit, $2,000 bucks With everything included, or that's just living, renting? Well,
it varies from place to place, but what I'm saying is that the rent, you got to look at like around the $2,000 range for anything decent.
Oh my gosh.
Unless I'm missing, but like you can find some things like stuff that's around like the $1,600, $1,700 range is like just like a lot of places are really shitty. You know, and like I don't care about living in a shitty place, but Christine does, and also I don't want to get my house broken into. So
yeah,
I have stuff that I would rather not get stolen. You know,
like
it's weird because it's a driving city, but the parking is just awful. Like, it's not like Miami where you can find like street parking and there's big parking lots. It's just not like that.
And also in Miami, no one cares where they park. Like you've seen those situations where like half of a lane is taken up because people just park on the side of the road.
Yeah, just put the hazards on. Yeah. There's not other people that exist here around me.
Damn. That's crazy. So the move's coming.
Yeah.
Apartment hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is still not in a box. Like, what's going on?
Well, I mean, it's probably...
Are you going to sell a lot of this stuff or...
I don't know. We're going to have to figure it out because Christine's got all these books. And I was like, oh, we're just going to have to get rid of most of the books, like half of them. And she's like, half of them? I'm like, like, what the fuck are we going to do with all these books? Like the living room is as big as our office, you know? It seems like I have a lot of stuff, but I think I'm going to sell a lot of it.
Cool.
I might sell like some guitars, sell my bass and my bass amp, sell my drum set, all that stuff.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I'll have to go to the Mike Marion off garage sale, see what.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm thinking about selling all that stuff.
Take that keyboard.
You'll take it? I'll sell it to you for cheap.
How much?
I don't know. I'd have to think about it.
All right, think about it.
Depends what the market price is on it is. It's a great keyboard.
It's a great little MIDI keyboard. It looks great. It's an M Audio.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a good MIDI keyboard. It's assignable if you're patient enough to assign all the different things on it.
Yeah, I see like there's a pad on the top over there.
You got like nice little controllers and stuff like that. And
an octave switcher. And you can connect to a computer, right?
All right, so this is going to be, the whole podcast is going to be about describing all my stuff.
I'm just
going to
try and haggle through this podcast, let's say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, but so we got to kind of downsize. I'm going to miss this house. It's a beautiful house, you know? It's crazy that I'm doing this now, you know?
Yeah.
It's concrete.
It becomes even more real. And that's the good thing. Like that's the scary thing, but the good thing, like it's happening.
Yeah.
It's happening. And a new chapter, very cliche, but a new chapter is opening in your life. And damn, who knows what obstacles, you know?
Oh, there's going to be tons. LA has a way of, I haven't been there very long, but I heard Bill Burr talk about this on his podcast and it confirms what I thought, that it can be kind of soul crushing sometimes, you know, cause he was saying how in New York, you know, there's all the excitement and stuff and around you when you're, you know, doing your horrible open mics. But in LA, it's like everything's so spread out and there's not as much excitement like that. So it's like, when I went there for the open mics, I'm like, wow, a lot of dreams come here to die.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's what keeps LA so sunny.
Yeah.
Some warlock.
On the fuel of dead dreams.
Yes. Some warlock is collecting all the dead dreams.
Warlock.
And just fueling, you know, nice temperatures.
Yeah.
That's why it's smoggy, too. Whatever isn't collected by the warlock and stuck in the air.
What is it? This is awesome. I love
this. You're a waiter? Is that your screenplay?
The dream warlock.
Yes.
Has fueling the sun.
Yeah. So, but, you know, that have I already mentioned that, like, Bill Burr's podcast sounds like the ramblings of someone in a bomb shelter? Like, it's just him by himself.
It's really funny.
Just saying things out loud and talking about sports. Like, if someone picked that up, like, you could put that in a bio, in a Fallout game. And it'll sound like...
Exactly. This guy's just rambling about sports.
Yes. But, damn, dude. That's gonna be a nice... Is this going to be a good... You know, like, it's going to be good for the spirit. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be good. It's going to be a good transition. Like, you've known, you know, Miami, not your whole life, but you've been
pretty
here your
whole
life.
Yeah.
You started this comedy thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got yourself a brilliant partner, and now you're going to pick up, relocate, and, you know, make something out of this.
Yeah.
Your name hopefully could appear on a credit for a show or something.
I could get a credit, maybe.
Yes, a credit.
Probably. Maybe, probably not. Maybe.
I was watching the Mulaney pilot. You know, he has a new show out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Guys, just in case you don't know, John Mulaney. brilliant comic. Check him out. He's also coming out with a new special.
Didn't that show get canned a lot critically?
Yes, it got canned a lot. Yes, it did. But what I was going to... I'll tell you about Mulaney later. But what I was going to say is that Mulaney had a part in the show where he's like, he's trying to... he has an interview with like a fake comedian TV personality, right?
Yeah.
And then he's like... And then he tells his friend, he's like, I'm just happy that finally... My jokes can be on TV and my parents can see them, or like, you know, but the basic gist of the line is like, I can finally have something to show my parents.
Yeah.
And not to say that that's what you're looking for, but
that's
like
the only reason I'm going is to show something to my parents,
but
all parent approval driven, but isn't everything, guys?
Ooh, deep,
deep as shit.
But you know, just having like, you're going there to make it real.
Yeah.
Like here, you're doing it here.
Yeah.
But honestly, it's not real until like, what, like, can you single-handedly make, you know, Miami a comedy hub?
No.
No, not yet. Maybe if you get big. But probably you're going out.
Never.
Yeah, it's going to take a while.
It's kind of all the businesses over there, you know. I mean, I think with Miami, there's a ceiling that will eventually be reached. You know, like you reach a ceiling in Miami. I have not reached the ceiling yet. But I don't think I necessarily need to reach it before I move on, you know, because mm-hmm. it's like, you know, there's opportunities here and stuff, but you know, the opportunities out there are just, they're
much
a lot
better.
More.
Yeah. No. So once you leave, you have the opportunity to get something and make this real, you know, and that's the very important part about this whole transition. And that's what passes through the mind of a lot of, you know, Miami comics. How real do I really want to make this?
Yeah.
Because you got a lot of guys that stay here.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're the best in a very small pond.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much more. Like, you got guys like Tim Hallin that, you know, tours. And like Eric Da Silva that tours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're making it happen. But, you know, like... this needs to be taken out like somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's either, you know, California or New York.
It's kind of sad that there's an eventual exodus that happens. That has to happen with everybody, you know?
Yeah. No, yeah. No, it is sad. I wish this place was more was more conducive to like, you know, some real comedy happenings. Like, like if Conan was filmed here, which it'll never be filmed here.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, those are the cities, New York and Los Angeles,
yeah,
unfortunately.
Exactly.
And, you know, making a new city is, you can't really do it. Maybe it could be the comedy hub for comedy in Spanish. That might happen.
That might happen.
It could be the United States Medellin or something. I don't know.
So, yeah. So, this transition is going to be great.
Yeah.
And if you ever get around to selling that keyboard, let me know. And any other things. You know what?
You could take it home today for the right price.
What's the right price?
I don't know. We should probably not discuss... shouldn't take this podcast time to haggle over the keyboard.
So yeah, can't wait to see you move, because I know that's when, all right, Mike's going on.
I want you to be right behind my car waving at me.
Yes, I will.
It's going to be weird driving out of here for the last time.
Oh man. Ooh.
Hopefully the last time. Hopefully
stop talking. I don't want to hear it.
The last time, hopefully the last time, not me sulking back into this house like, well, we tried it. I don't think because it takes a lot of fucking perseverance, you know, but it could get depressing and stuff like that, but I'm just gonna keep at it. I don't have a plan B. So,
and hey, California is still a good place, and
I mean, I'd like to live there regardless of,
yeah, exactly.
Like entertainment's like, I'd rather, if I was not doing entertainment, I'd rather live in Los Angeles than Miami.
Yeah.
Because I love Miami, I do, but Miami's like that chick that you date that's great, she's hot, you get along, but there's just not that spark there.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, oh man, I love Miami, but it's just like, you know...
me and Miami don't have as much in common as I thought.
Yeah, no, but like, it's still good, but like, yeah, I don't really feel it.
I'm excited to wake up next to Miami, but I'm not like elated to wake up next to Miami.
But bro, Miami's hot, bro.
Nah, bro, you see the tits on Miami, bro? Look at those tits. Yeah, but you know, they're a little hard and a little too fake. So, I don't know.
Like, Miami doesn't go out to all my shows, too.
Miami's not totally supportive of me. But LA, LA has her flaws, but she's
she always calls and she always has like great like vegan places. I don't know.
it's great. It's great to be going there with Christine too.
Yeah.
I know I said this to Christine and I know it might sound kind of bad, but I said that she reminds me of women in presidential biographies, like first ladies, you know,
like
not to reduce her as just to the supporting yeah. cast role, but still, but like she's like one of those great women that
she's like a mob wife. Like she's ride or die. Like
I wouldn't say mob wife. She's too smart to be a mob wife.
Well, that what I mean by mob wife is like she's seen some shit. She'll probably choke someone for you.
Yeah.
And she'll keep quiet about it and still support you.
Yeah. Like yeah, she's like a mob wife in that regard.
And like with the presidential lady thing, you're talking about like you're talking about like some who was that president that pretty much died, but his wife ran the country? Because she was the only one allowed in the room.
No, I don't know.
Well, there was a president that this is why they made succession. Because like if anything happens to a president, someone needs to take over and yeah. it can't be the first lady.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was this president got really sick. And then his wife was the only one allowed in the room. And she was basically running the country.
Wow. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. So like first lady levels of ride or die. Mob wife levels of ride or die.
She's mob wife as fuck.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've been getting text messages all day for these different apartments because her parents are out there looking at apartments.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's weird not actually seeing the apartments first, but I kind of trust their judgment.
No, yeah. I mean, they picked out this, right?
Yeah. Actually, they bought this. It was on the market, I think, for one day. And they went to the house and there was three other people looking at it. And they made an offer right there. And Christine had like just gotten back from chemo at the hospital and they're like, let's just stop by this house first. And she's like, oh, I don't know. And they looked at it and they're like, all right, we got to put an offer on this.
Mm. No, this is a very solid house. Shit.
Yeah. Solid as fuck.
What's going to happen to this house?
Probably rent it.
Rent it? How much?
I don't know. We haven't figured that out yet.
All right. Let me know about, can we work out a deal where I get the keyboard and the house?
Sure.
We'll see what we do.
Yeah. It might be a few extra bucks to get the house with the keyboard. But we can figure something out.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, sweet. Things are happening, guys.
Things are happening.
It's I had
cue the Ron Paul gif. It's happening with the arms in there.
You know what I did last week? What? I hosted Gringo Bingo.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
That's
I
cool.
I was so glad I did that.
So it went well?
No, yeah, it went really
I'm
well.
I'm glad that Daniel didn't listen to my advice.
What was your advice?
I said, definitely Reggie's not a good co-host. He'll talk over you the whole time.
We took turns hosting like each round.
Yeah.
And like a lot of people were very receptive.
Oh, that's
I
nice.
Was really happy to like do that gig. And I hope Daniel has me on like again.
Oh, yeah, because
like
Jessica's out of town, right?
Yeah.
Judging from Jessica Gross's pictures, she has become a lumberjack.
What?
Have you seen her pictures on Facebook?
No.
She's like, she went to North Carolina and there's like all these pictures of her and Plaid with her boyfriend, like at all these different places.
Do you think she's at like one of those lumberjack Olympics? Have you seen that on ESPN?
Yeah, I've seen that before. That shit's crazy.
She's just really good at log rolling.
But she went there with her boyfriend and like they went to like this craft brewery, but then they look like lumberjacks to me.
What makes people think that you can just put flannel if you're just like a little bit in the South? You know, like this place looks homey and has trees. Bust out the flannel. Where are my Tim's?
I don't know. The same thing that makes polo shirts with shorts okay when you're on a golf course.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. Jessica, God, she's living the life working for Michael, for the Michael's Genuine guy.
Michael Genuine?
You know Michael's Genuine, the restaurant?
No.
You've never heard of Michael's Genuine?
No, I haven't.
Really? It's like the best restaurant in Miami.
Really?
Yeah, Michael, I totally forget his name. I'm blanking on it, but she's his assistant, and like he's like a culinary luminary of Miami. You should go, man. Like that is the best restaurant in Miami, hands down.
Really?
Yeah. For sure.
I thought I had heard that the best restaurant was Eating House.
No, it's 100 times better than Eating House.
Michael Genuine.
Michael's Genuine.
Michael's Genuine.
He brews his own beer. You ever been to Harry's Pizza? We went, right?
Yeah, we went.
Same owner.
Same owner?
Yeah, but it's not pizza. It's a bunch of other shit. it's great, dude. And like, I'm jealous that she's his assistant, because the food's awesome. Like she posts so many food pictures, and I'm seething with jealousy all the time when I look at her food pictures.
All right. I'm looking up Michael's Genuine Food and Drink. Michael's Genuine Food and Drink.
Correct.
It has $3 signs.
Yeah, it's not cheap, but it's the best restaurant in Miami.
Okay.
But the thing is, it's cheaper than a lot of inferior restaurants.
Okay. No, yeah, I get what you mean.
So it's like expensive relative to most places, but it's not like... It's not as expensive as it could be.
Hey, check out this Cuban Japanese sushi fusion.
Has anything recently happened in the news? Ebola.
Ebola.
The Ebola virus.
One person in the U.S. was diagnosed with it.
That's great. That's great to hear.
Yeah. There was a concern for like, I hope I don't get this wrong. There's like a holiday.
I have a feeling that you're going to get it wrong.
Yeah, I'm probably going to get it wrong.
From the look of hesitation on your face.
There's a holiday, an Islamic holiday.
Uh-huh.
That requires like a lot of like touching and like, handshaking.
Yeah.
And like, you know, interacting with a lot of individuals. And there's an Ebola concern there because, you know, Ebola is spread through bodily fluids.
Oh, geez. That's really shitty.
Yeah. And then, you know, people are like, well, we have this concern, but I still want to, you know, maintain my religious practices.
Yeah.
But we have this concern, you know? And then let's see. Also, a lot of people are scared that it could be airborne, but that's a very, 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 very narrow possibility.
Yeah.
Almost non-existent.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, no.
So what is the situation under which Ebola gets airborne?
It mutates at an alarming rate, which it doesn't.
Sounds like a great plot for a movie.
Yeah, it does.
But maybe not the best plot for real life.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't happen. It
doesn't do that.
It's a scary disease. It's funny because like... I think the premise of every like post-apocalyptic movie or something like where there's like a crazy virus is like, imagine if this happened to white people. Because like all these horrible scenarios depicted, right? It's like that's happening right now somewhere to brown people.
like The Purge.
Like, or Children of Men. You ever seen that movie?
Children of Men?
Yeah, Children of Men.
What's that one about? Who's in it?
It's, I forget his name. It's like this British movie where like the earth, like the earth's in chaos and no one can have kids. And like, it's like this dystopian post-apocalyptic future.
Oh, is that
and,
like, the one with Angelina Jolie?
These terrorist bombings. She's not in it. No.
Oh, but there was one where she was like, she was giving birth to the first baby in like, what, 20 years or something?
I don't know that movie.
I don't know. Maybe I'm butchering it. Hey, Angelina Jolie, there's a movie idea.
No, that's not the movie, but and you know Angelina Jolie wouldn't give birth. She would buy the kids. She would get them from Africa or whatever. But yeah, she, so there's like, it's like this post-apocalyptic movie and like everyone's really poor and then there's all these people trying to immigrate into England and there's these roving bands of bandits and stuff. And it's like this really bleak image and of the future and it's like, it's happening right now.
Yeah.
You know, somewhere else. I saw a great commercial that really hit at home. Like it was this like pretty little blonde white girl in England, like blowing out her birthday candle for her like 7th birthday or whatever.
Okay.
And then her house starts getting bombed. And then there's like this horrible scenario where like they're in a refugee camp and stuff like that. And it's like, and it's just like, oh my God, this is really horrible. And at the end, it's like, it's happening somewhere right now. Does it make sense now that we see what it's like if it happened to where you live? So pretty much it's like, it's pretty bad when it happens to a little white girl, isn't it?
It's been a bunch of people that make jokes about like,
yeah,
of like Patrice O'Neill.
Yeah.
Like he made a joke where it's like, if like a little white kid gets kidnapped, yeah, everyone's looking for that little white kid.
Mm-hmm.
But like if a little black kid gets kidnapped, they're signing a report at least. Yeah. So that's why he makes a joke like, if I ever go out fishing, I'm going to just have a little white kid on a keychain. I just have a little white baby on a keychain.
Yeah, and he was saying how that guy killed that girl, Natalie Holloway, in what is it? In like Bermuda.
Yeah.
And he's like, and what's the name of that? What's the name of the other girl that he killed? Oh yeah, nobody knows because she was Colombian. What's that, what's that big-headed Colombian bitch's name again? Yordis or something? Yeah, it's great. I like it. Like, we NPRize Patrice O'Neill. We turn Patrice O'Neill's segment into an NPR segment. Why, when you go fishing, you should bring out a small white child next on Fresh Air. Next. With Reginald Desjardins.
Who's on Fresh Air is Terry Gross, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's Terry Gross.
I haven't listened to
NPR. And you're on Fresh Air now. Here, talking right now, Terry Gross. Now tell us, why should you have a... No, I'm losing Terry Gross. I had Terry Gross for like a split second.
So tell us, Patrice, why did you bring a small white child with you last time you went on a boat? That's interesting. Yeah, but it's true, you know. I think The Onion hit it so well when they said that we're 50 white people away from an Ebola cure.
Let's see.
White people are more valuable as human beings. Just say it, Reggie. Let's stop being so politically correct.
Certainly, there's a lot more people that care about them. No, look, here's the situation.
Tell me, what's the situation?
What's the situation?
The situation study with Reginald Desjardins, because we're in the study. That's what Christine calls it. He calls it the study.
The study.
I call it the office.
This is where we make... The study is where we make the fart and dick jokes, yeah, over the podcast.
Exactly.
And then Christine comes in here and writes an article for the AP.
Yep, exactly. That's pretty... Yeah, she does the same... She sits in the seat and writes things for the National Wire that are well thought out and researched.
Yes, exactly.
The same place that me and John Vargas talk about shoving gerbils up our ass.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So... held to the same regard? I think so.
I would agree.
So, look. Okay. This is what... the whole movie thing, right? Okay. Let me see. I'm trying to find it.
Gather your thoughts before you talk, Reggie. Jesus Christ.
I don't want dead air.
Yeah? Doing disservice to your listeners. Just do what I do. Talk without really thinking through your thought first.
So
the thing about movies. What about movies?
What about movies? All right. What about movies?
What are you talking about?
What am I talking? Okay, this is what I'm talking about. I have a joke. I have a joke where it still hasn't been hitting hard, but it's like, yeah, it's there. And the joke is that, like, no black movie starring black people has ever won an Emmy that wasn't about black people getting hurt. Like, all the movies, I've looked it up. Yeah. All the movies, Ali, Precious, 12 Years a Slave,
yeah,
Hotel Rwanda, all those movies have nothing but black people going through strife.
Yeah.
Right? And that is the... Like, that's the only movie that ever makes it, you know?
Reggie, if you're going to shit on my white savior complex right now, I'm not going to be happy.
The Blind Side, you know, was considered for something.
He gets hit a lot by other black people.
So that's the whole thing. Like, no black movie that... And, like, 2013 was known as the year of the black movie,
yeah,
which I've read a
is
lot.
Is it? I did not know that.
Yeah.
Show me the textbook where it says that 2013 is the year of the black movie.
Well, there's been many a think piece that have said that and have debunked that.
Oh, well, if it's in a think piece.
Yeah.
Wait till 2015. That's the year of the black movie next. Yeah.
So you got a bunch of movies and a bunch of representation of nothing but just, like, sad black people under very precarious circumstances.
Yeah, I don't want to see a happy black person until at least the middle of Act 3.
Exactly.
That's why
Tyler Perry movies don't do well. Too many rich and well-off black people laughing and cross-dressing.
Mm-hmm.
All right? That's what keeps the white man off of Tyler Perry's back.
Yep.
Cross-dressing. So...
And also the too many happy black people.
Yeah. So that's what's coming into the mainstream, all right? 12 Years a Slave. That's
made
a great
me feel
movie.
Great about being against slavery.
Yes.
If in case you don't know, listeners, I'm anti-slavery.
Yeah.
I know that's a very hard stance to take nowadays, but I'm against it. I don't think it's right.
No, thank you. Thank you so much,
Mike. I know. It took a lot of bravery to say that.
Yeah.
You know, like, I know we're facing a lot of opposition.
And that's why we don't
but
have the
I'm
high
against,
numbers
I'm against
that we
slavery,
want for the Black Jew podcast. Thank you, Mike. See, if only everyone else came
Do you think
out.
Our sponsors are going to pull out after that?
Who are our sponsors? Oh, shit, we didn't give anything to our sponsors.
Weasel Flub Sneasel Dubs.
Weasel Flub Sneasel Dubs. The best slippers in the market, guys. Weasel Fluff Sneasel Duff. Really fluffy.
Weasel
really
Flub Sneasel Dubs.
Sneasel Dubs. I'm
do,
sorry.
Do you want to get a call from them again? We already comped the last one.
We got, all right, we got Tropicana Paperweights.
Oh, Tropicana.
They're not just doing orange juice. They're also holding down your paper.
Yep. Using large gelatinous blocks of solidified orange juice. Waste product.
Yes. So pick up your Tropicana paperweights today.
Yep.
All right. That covers all our sponsors.
Watch out, though, because they're heavy. That's how, because they're very good paperweights, because you want a paperweight to be heavy. So anyways, continue.
So that's what you got. 12 Years a Slave, great movie.
Yeah.
But it pushes the discussion of racism to the past. Everyone, well, most people...
Well, it
people,
is in the past. It's over.
That's the flaw in that movie. It's a great movie, but...
Racism's over, Reggie. Barack Obama's president.
What year is it?
2014.
Oh, shit. Never mind, guys. I'm so sorry. I wasn't aware it was
You're thinking of racism. Racism stopped in 1964.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. You're right.
Everyone was fine after the Civil Rights Act was passed.
So then why did Steve McQueen make that movie? That's so dumb.
Because he's just a big Hollywood circle jerk.
The problem with 12 Years a Slave was that it pushed the discussion on racism to the past. Like everybody and their mother has been through elementary school and knows that, most people know that slavery is bad. And that's all.
My mother was not through elementary school, and I take offense to that large sweeping generalization.
So that, yeah, I'm not even gonna play with you, Mike. So that is, that's the issue right there. Like, that we have real things happening and much more relevant, like acts of racism or like systematic oppression.
You're going to write this on salon.com?
It's already on salon.com. I'm actually reading it off my phone from salon.com.
From your article?
Yeah, from my article.
On Salon.
So that's why...
Did you do a think piece about Nicki Minaj's Anaconda video too?
I think about it a lot.
I feel like every time... I interrupt you. I'm exercising my white privilege.
You're lucky, my friend.
I love every
Mike.
Second of it.
Have you seen that video, by the way?
What?
The Anaconda?
No.
What? Why not?
I have no interest in seeing that video.
What?
I mean, who gives a shit?
I give a lot of shit.
I don't like Nicki Minaj.
Nicki Minaj is great.
I don't enjoy her music or really care about anything she does.
She's a fantastic rapper, and that video.
I saw this great article on College Humor that was like 8 things people need to stop getting have such strong opinions about.
And what were some of them?
One was music videos. It was like, it's just a silly montage of images. Like, why? And then 200 think pieces come out that's just pushing the agenda you were going to push anyway, you know? And one of them was cell phones. It's like, you shouldn't have such a strong opinion about Samsung versus iPhone. You have a magical box in your phone and in your pocket at all times. Like, he hit on so many great things that I loved very much. So,
that was a great video.
What? Anaconda? I guess I'll watch it now that you said it was good.
It's like, it's really great because, you know, like, Is Nicki being Nicki? I don't know how
it's Nicki being Nicki.
I don't know how in control of the narrative she was, but it was a pretty interesting.
Now I
video.
Feel like I'm on MTV. It's just Nicki being Nicki, you know.
She has like a lot of great. Yeah, have you noticed?
Wait a second. Is Anaconda? When they say Anaconda, do they really mean penis?
Hmm.
When they say Anaconda, do they really mean penis?
I think so.
Oh my god, that is clever. Jeez.
Have you noticed how like the different forms of media and how like the attention span for like certain generations has gone low because of that?
Yeah,
form
I'm not
of media?
Paying attention to you. I'm watching this video, so I think it proves your point
like
perfectly.
You got people that grew up with the radio, then they got TV, then they got movies.
Yeah.
And then they got short, like the media got shorter, shorter, and shorter until like you got the more recent generation that just has music videos.
Yeah.
And music videos, they're just
it's too
like,
long for me.
They're like 3 minutes long and they don't work with scenes. They work with like images. There's like quick images, and that's it. They're done. There's no like, there's no, I mean, there's some music videos with a long narrative, but like, it's just like, here's an image, here's an image, here's an image, here's an image, here's a series of images.
Yeah.
And that's what you're filtering in. That's what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
And then that makes the attention span of like, you know, like growing up with that, there's a book written about this, like growing up with that, your attention span is usually around like 3 minutes with that, or like two, average two, the most three.
I haven't listened to anything you just said. I've been watching this Anaconda video. No, it's true. I mean, it's getting shorter now. It's like, you know, it's even shorter than that because I can't sit through a whole music video. I'll click through it. So yeah, I watched part of this video. It's like, I really feel like someone should not have a very strong opinion about this. It's like, all right, it's a bunch of people dancing and using bad analogies for dicks. There you go. She's exercising. Okay, cool. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, this is not worth more than 500 words, is what I'm saying.
I honestly don't really like music videos.
Yeah, because you're too young. They're too long for you.
I don't like music videos because I just, like, I don't get, like, I honestly don't get them. Like, I've only seen, like, in my life,
how
honestly.
How are you 22? You sound like you're 100 years old.
A handful of music videos. I can count the amount of music videos I've seen like in my
head. I've watched more than you probably because I was of the TRL generation.
TRL. Oh yeah,
I remember it was a big deal when Korn got to number one on TRL, and it was for one week or one day. It was not a boy band that was number one. It's a big deal.
Sounds like
Korn.
Korn with the K O yeah. And the reverse.
Whatever
R.
happened to them?
I don't know.
They still like doing it? Like,
I think they like, still do.
Maybe it's like Tiesto. It's like you don't hear much about them when you learn that there's better music out there. I don't know how it works. I want to write an article for Slate called Five Reasons Being a Comedian's Like Being a DJ.
Go for it. I bet they'd take it.
There's so many parallels. Maybe I could just write it and then chop it around, and then people would be like, that's stupid. I'd be like, all right, whatever you say.
Put it up on your website once you finally get a website.
Yeah, once I finally, that's a goal.
Just self-produce that.
Once I finally get a website, put it up on my website. Got one article pending. That's why I need a website. Yeah, you know, the struggle is real. That's all I have to say.
There's a report that says like the more a kid looks at screens, the more active screens they have in their life, the less they'll be able to like sympathize with human emotion.
You're a fucking douchebag. Kill what? Yourself. I don't believe that at all.
So that's why doctors are recommending like no screen time.
Ever?
Like they can't read human emotion very well.
So it's turning everyone autistic. Everyone has Asperger's now. Everyone born after 1997 has Asperger's.
Asperger's.
What year were you born?
1992.
Wow.
Almost didn't make the cutoff.
Almost. So you can sort of empathize with human emotions.
Why do you keep on talking to me? You're a dumb individual.
See, you're obviously faking it. That wasn't harsh enough. You need to get to the YouTube comment section of sociopathy.
Oh my gosh.
That's just the hellhole. YouTube, 4chan, all that shit. 4chan's fun though. I feel like people on 4chan have more empathy than people on YouTube comments.
I think they...
So many trolls. So many trolls on YouTube. And the thing is funny how people don't know what the word troll means anymore. It's like, I paid a plank. I trolled you. Like, my dad plays pranks on me. I'm a troll dad.
Troll dad is not a thing, is it?
Yeah, some people say like le troll dad. Look at what my dad, he's such a troll. People don't know what trolling is. Trolling is when you deliberately
want to sway someone's emotions. Like
yeah,
when you,
exactly.
When you work at like actively trying to like make someone like feel a certain thing or sway their emotions.
Exactly.
You know, trolling got to a point where like the New York Times had to define it, right?
Really?
Yeah.
You said the New York Times list of unnecessary op-eds, is that is that the dictionary, name of the dictionary that it's in?
Yes, that's the name of the dictionary.
Trolling is fun. You've been trolling on the internet?
No, I don't.
It's not as easy as it looks.
I
Because the best trolling is when the person actually believes you believe what you're saying.
Yeah. I'm very aware of like what makes a good trolling, but I don't actively troll.
I do it on 4chan from time to time. I'll troll. Really? Like I don't do it in any sort of space that that's not 4chan. Because like 4chan's a cesspool anyway. It's like I wouldn't do it on like a YouTube chant, like, you know, a YouTube video or something where there's any sort of
reasonable discourse theory. We're like, oh, everyone threw trash in that area. I could throw trash in that area.
No, it's like the littering theory, like 4chan's a trash dump. You put trash in a trash dump. Why? No, if you put trash in a landfill, you're not littering.
Well, okay.
You're putting trash in a landfill. Like, that's why it exists. It's to put trash in there.
Okay, so... Yeah. You know what? Why do people... The trolling works because there's some individual that honestly believes that you believe what you believe. Like, someone's out there taking internet stuff at face value.
People are really stupid and gullible with that shit. Yeah. Now they have a satire tag on Facebook because people are too dumb
to... Oh, it's active now?
Yeah, they're too dumb to recognize a fucking Onion article.
No, people still won't notice it. Like, they, yeah. Unless it's, like, huge, like, under the name of the person or...
Even if it's huge.
Like,
doesn't matter. People are really stupid.
People don't even read
the
signs.
Gullibility that I've seen on the internet by the average person is ridiculous.
Have I told you about that Ebola article already?
No.
The one where like someone on my Facebook feed reposted an article about like Ebola turning, you know, people into zombies.
Oh yeah, I think so.
Yeah, someone actively believed that. And like, I went to the website, and then a page down, there was an article about, like, gang members using lightsabers.
Oh, my God, really? I didn't even know they had the technology yet.
Yeah, no, it's actually quite alarming.
Can you buy it on the black market?
It's in L.A., by the way. It's in L.A.
Fuck.
So...
I mean, that's cool on the one hand. On the other hand, lightsabers are dangerous, so I don't know how to feel about that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll tell Christine's parents no lightsabers.
No, please stay clear away from any gangs called the Rebels, the Empire, the Sith, or Jedis. Just be safe. Be safe, Mike.
I'll try. If I hear a war, I'll run away in the other direction.
But they have the Force. You can't run away from the Force.
Fuck. Shit. You caught me. You know, back to the subject of white people thinking that they're awesome for saving black people. You know what? I saw this. Who's that woman that got an award, an Oscar for 12 Years a Slave? The woman.
Oh, what's Lupita Nyong'o.
What is it?
Lupita Nyong'o.
Lupita. So I saw this gallery, all right, of Lupita, and it said 12 pictures of Lupita looking like an angel, right? And it like. I was like, man, this is weird. It weirded me out. I feel like it was like a bunch of white people like, look, she's a doll and not a person. Like, look at this little black doll.
It's weird. It's you know why it's weird?
Why?
It's weird because there's there's finally a person that is not, that's darker than who's?
Halle Berry?
Yeah, than Halle Berry or Sofia Vergara. That white people like. That's what it is.
That's not what the weird part is to me.
No, that's the weird part. Look, let me explain. So
I'm talking specifically about this gallery. No, they said this is Lupita looking like an angel.
The reason,
right? Like they were talking about her like she was some weird fetish object.
Yeah, no, this
not
is
like
where
a
this,
person.
This is where this stems from. Like it's finally like a person of color that's darker
than
Halle
Negroes in the country club now.
There's a person of color that's darker than Sofia Vergara that like they find beautiful, and like she won an Oscar.
I don't find black people attractive at all.
That's a very common sentiment. Like
I don't think so, because you know, I was just gonna say something really bad, but I'm just gonna hold back.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself, Mike. See,
I wreck myself all the time.
Do I let you go in?
Nah, let him sit out there. He shouldn't be punished for yelling, making me yell.
So here's the deal. So finally, like this celebrity is like liked by white people, right? And like once they like it, that's it. Cool, you're checked out. Don't worry, you're beautiful from this point on.
Yeah.
But like, there's been many, many, many women of color that are just as dark as Lupita Nyong'o and just as beautiful, mm-hmm. if not more. And also all across the board, there's like beautiful women of color in different races. Just like there are ugly people.
I wouldn't agree with that, but continue. Oh, God damn. Yeah, let you go in before he knocks down the door. Oh, my God. This dog is like, one minute he's barking, the next minute he like can't stand to be alone for 5 seconds. And now he's going to... He's what a little pussy he is. You're a little pussy, right, Hugo? And he's back in his bed. He's like, the house is now defended.
I ran around the perimeter, Mike. Don't worry. I got this.
So continue with what you were saying.
So before Hugo so rudely interrupted, like, so yeah, no, you got like, there's like a lot of like, huh. Okay, so I've heard people express the opinion that they don't like black girls.
Yeah.
Right? And then, you know, I kind of probe for them, like, why? And then they're like, I don't know, I just don't find them attractive.
Because I'm racist. Because I just don't care for Negroes.
Pretty much.
Like, so women, I don't, look, I'm an equal opportunity bigot. I don't like Negroes, women, men, doesn't matter.
And, oh, okay, here's another way to illustrate it. On online dating,
yeah,
the two individuals that get the most, like, you know, ask or like messages sent to them are Asian women and white dudes.
Huh.
Yes. Asian women and white dudes get the most like messages sent to them, or they get hit up the most out of all the people that go on online dating.
Okay, I understand white men because we're a superior race, but what about Asian women?
I don't
know.
Why
is that?
That's one of the things that's hard to like pinpoint. Like, I don't, because, you know, by the numbers, though, which are very, like, very, very, like, significant.
Yeah.
You know, there's not like dudes aren't running up to Asian women just hitting on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And this was done, they did this thing on NPR's Code Switch where they kind of like tried to break down the numbers.
Yeah.
OkCupid released some like statistics about like, oh, okay, so see, these Asian people are getting hit on more than these black women.
Interesting.
And it's happening. Like, there's a book called Dataclysm, which I got for my birthday,
uh-huh.
that delves deeper into this.
Again, how old did you turn?
22.
45?
Yes. And the two individuals that get the least... that get the least messages or hit on,
mm-hmm.
are black men and black women.
Interesting.
Yes. So then there's something...
as we established before, black people are not attractive.
Exactly. So...
They don't have that silky white skin that gets melanoma easily.
Mm-hmm. Or those freckles or like the allergies.
Don't have freckles and allergies. Oh, a white woman with a nice red nose. Oh, there's nothing more I like than that. Uncle Ruckus likes it.
Uncle Ruckus is such a great character.
I know, he is. I smell like pine saw.
So you got some. So you're in a weird position where like mm-hmm. where like you black bodies
mm-hmm.
are fetishized.
Yeah. Okay.
They're fetishized. Like you, there's black porn. There's BBCs. You know, there's things like that.
Like the British News Network, BBC?
Yes. Big Black Cocks. That's
Big Black Cocks.
That's what Doctor Who doesn't tell you. That's that's the real agenda.
Get into my TARDIS that's in the shape of a big black cock.
Doctor Who would be way more interesting if he flew around in a big black cock. So you got like you have a situation where like black bodies are being fetishized and mm-hmm. and you know, lusted after.
Yeah.
But on the grander, you know, society, like in the grander scheme of things,
yeah,
they're usually perceived as like, you know, not as ugly.
So then it becomes a fetish object because it's like, wow, look at this exception we're making. We're awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
God, we're Lupita, so great talking about.
Look at Lupita. I like her natural hair. Look how, you know, like, look at this.
She had
look
a perm
at that.
In the pictures.
Like around the time where she was like, you know, winning that Oscar.
Yeah, I think she had a perm in the Oscar pictures.
Oh, okay. Well, I haven't seen many of them.
Yeah.
So you got a situation where like people are like allowing Lupita. Like you've entered the
woman. And that's why it creeps me the fuck out.
Hot woman Rolodex.
Yeah.
You're considered an angel now. There's not many of you. So hey, you know, kinda.
It's an elite club.
Yeah. So you got like,
you
know,
have to use separate bathrooms. All right, I'm done. I'm sorry.
Thank goodness you're going to California.
I'm just trying to spice it up here, Reggie. And I went on the What's Up, Bro, and it was so different than our podcast.
Oh, yeah, I bet it is.
It's so... It was fun, though. Like, it was fun to butt heads a lot. We don't really butt heads at all.
Because I don't let you do that to me. I will be respected. I will not answer your stupid remarks. And I will continue with what I'm saying.
You're such an angel.
Shut
make
up.
Make a little gallery. Look at Reginald. Look at my podcasting partner looking
like
an angel.
Look at my podcast. Such a doll.
And it's like when you say angel, it's like she's not a person. She's like this other thing that's not a person. It's an angel.
Exactly. There you go. You're deconstructing
people.
It. Mike.
But good thing racism is over, though. So
yeah, God,
that's positive.
Good.
Why can't
thank
you?
Goodness,
why can't why can't you just accept that? That's good. You know, it's a positive thing. Racism's over. Sexism's over. I think it's really funny when anytime someone says, "See, we don't need feminism anymore," it's like, and anytime someone makes that comment, the rest of the comment just explains why you do need feminism. It's like, thank you for totally proving your point wrong by making that point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Aziz Ansari talked about being a feminist on Letterman.
Oh, really? Just recently? Or
just recently.
Well, what did he say?
I forget, but you can look up the clip.
Thank you, Mike.
Very insightful. Right? No, he was just saying like how people shy away from the title feminist because they just think of it as women yelling at them. But it's not the truth. And how, like, you know, feminism just really, all it is just you believe in equality for women. And if you say you're, it's like weird how people, they shy away from it. It's like, oh, I believe in equality, but oh, I'm not a feminist. It's like if someone's like, oh, I'm a doctor who specializes in skin. Oh, so you're a dermatologist. No, it's too harsh of a word. I don't believe in that.
I'm a doctor that does skin stuff.
I'm not a dermatologist. So yeah, it was good, man. I think more dudes have to come out being feminists.
Do you actively think that that's where it needs to go to like make it a like,
yeah. Yeah, I think men need to be feminists. I think male feminist has,
you know, there was a hashtag called male feminist.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Needs to not just be a hashtag. But I think men need to be feminists, and I think guys that other guys that men consider as guys need to become feminists too and talk about being a feminist so it could be seen as masculine. You can still be masculine and be a feminist, you know,
because
like when you picture a male feminist, you picture somebody like, I don't know, with Birkenstocks and a My Little Pony shirt on, or no, actually My Little Pony shirt guys are probably the men's rights activists, but you know, like I think that it carries a lot more weight.
And your feminist, will I be able to marry Rainbow Bright?
will they accept fedoras in feminism? But no, I think that honestly, if a guy says that he's a feminist, it's a lot more impactful for other men than a woman saying that she's a feminist, which doesn't sound like a very feminist statement and contradictory, but I think it's just the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like if you have a woman saying that she's a feminist, it's like, oh, whatever, you know, like, oh, she's probably just a uppity bitch or whatever. She probably wants to yell at me. But if a guy says it, right, then it's kind
of
like,
uppity bitch is the name of my new band.
It's like, oh shit, a guy, which is hilarious that I'm saying this, because I'm like, guys need to say they're feminist, and I'm a feminist because I believe that people think that men's words are more important than women's. It's more important when a guy says it, and that's why I'm a feminist. No, but it's you know, just like if one of your guy friends does it, it helps, you know. There needs to be more male feminists out there.
So just like in the way that like if more guys were into pegging,
what's pegging?
You know, when your girl gets the strap on and then just
fucks you. yes, exactly like that, Reggie.
See how it feels, Mike.
You don't even have to finish the analogy. See how what feels being pegged? No, I don't know. I've never been pegged before.
No, I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, you know, I think it would help a lot. I don't think that's the solution by itself, but I think that's part of where the movement needs to go, you know, because if you're like, if it's cool to be a feminist, or if there's like if Nick Offerman was saying that he was a feminist, you
Nick
know,
Nick Offerman,
he's the guy who plays, I think his name's what, Ron on Parks and Recreation, the guy that's always doing the manly shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. With the big
mustache.
Yeah, guy's great. Yeah, well, Ron does say that show.
He says he's a feminist?
Yeah.
I don't know that.
Yeah, there's been many shows where, like, Nick Offerman's character, Ron, like, always says, oh, I've always been surrounded by powerful women. I like powerful women, and I am, like...
Does he use the word feminist?
Yeah.
No shit. I didn't know that.
Yeah, there was a whole episode dedicated to him receiving a feminism award.
Yeah.
Leslie, who wanted the award, Ron offers it to Leslie because he recognizes her. By the way, over my birthday weekend, I marathoned a lot of Parks and Rec. That's what I've been doing. And then Ron realizes that this is wrong, and they're using him as a vehicle to like push the this
I remember feminism. That episode, yeah.
Yeah, so... You know, it's been... So, yeah, like, if more manly dudes came out and said that... It's like, there was a thing that NPR did about veganism. And, like, how, like, they have a whole, like, thing they did on masculinity.
Yeah.
And food and masculinity was one of the big topics. And one of the things they did was, like, male vegans. And, like, how, like, veganism is perceived as something wussy.
Yeah.
And is perceived as, like, oh, look, he's not eating meat. How can he be a real man? Mm-hmm. But then there's, like, the support group of men that come together and have...
Interesting.
Like, big vegan dinners at, like, this guy's vegan restaurant.
That's okay.
And, like, yeah. And it's, like, these guys are actual, because men, like,
we struggle with the identity thing, too, you know? Like, like, women don't want to be perceived as masculine, like, burping and farting. But men have the same... problem that they face, you know, like certain things might make you and lose that, manliness points, which I've come to at this point in my life give zero fucks about. But it's like, I think it would help if there's like male feminists, you know. I think that a male feminist would have a little bit more sway, you know, than a female feminist, even though it sounds so not feminist to say that, you know. But I'm not a feminist. No, just kidding, I am. But just wanted to let you guys know. Not some fucking whiny feminist. All right, well, you got to go to work in like literally a minute. So, yeah. So let's probably should wrap it up, right?
All right.
How late can you be to work?
I don't know. I've never tested it.
Well, you're about to. All right, guys. So find me on Twitter, Mike Marinoff, and Mike Marinoff Comedy on Facebook. I'll be at Elwood's tonight. Come on by.
I'll be at Elwood's tonight, too. I'll go after work.
Ooh, super fun.
You can find me at Twitter at @Ratchet_Reggie or Instagram at @BlackDadaist. All right. It's like artists without the art and put Dada.
Yeah, we got it. You're not acting like an angel anymore. All right, guys. So until next time.
Until next time. How was